friend of mine who had come in from, actually a former pastor came in from the evangelical non-denominational world, told me one time that being drawn to the liturgy, being drawn to the Eucharist within the Episcopal Church, that one of the best things for him was that if the sermon was lousy, he knew he was going to be fed. He knew that the liturgy, those words of Scripture, those traditions were going to soak into him and he would be fed. He knew that he would come to the rail, he would extend his hands, and he would be fed. Very different from the tradition he came from, because it was all about the teaching. It was all about that sermon. And if that was not up to par for the power preacher, then the Sunday was a bust. Well, today is one of those Sundays for me that I find the Scriptures very difficult. And I've wrestled with them all week. I've had more books on my desk, because I cleaned it. You can actually see the desk now. laid out in all the different interpretations, the Greek, all the stuff that I was preparing, and I still couldn't come to a place where I could, in my mind, put together something wrote that might make sense. And if I was the power preacher, I'd get fired. But we're relying on the liturgy and the communion and the sacraments to carry us through today. But I want to walk you through my wrestle, really. We begin, first off, we have John 3:16, the most famous scripture ever. I'll get to that in a minute. This should be easy, right? No. We begin our lectionary with hearing about how the Israelites are out. They're still wandering around for their 40-year journey. God had already been feeding them with manna. It was not very tasty, apparently, but it gave them the nutrients that they needed to continue to live and to continue push forward to the promised land. Well, they got to complaining about that. We heard that today. And they spoke against God and against Moses, and God didn't like that. And so what did God do? God sent serpents to kill them, to bite them, and they died, it says. And that's a pretty scary thing. And so through fear, the people repented and said they were sorry. Asked Moses to pray to God to take the serpents away. God's response was, let's make a bronze image, which isn't, they weren't worshiping it, but boy, that sure resembles a graven image, and put it on a pole. And for those who get bit by those serpents, if they look at that serpent, they will be healed. God didn't take away the serpents. The people were continuing to be bit. I've been bit a lot, not by snakes, but so I kind of get that struggle. It's kind of bit this week with these scriptures too. But I wrestle with that image of that God. And then we move into the Ephesians lesson where it says that for by grace we have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. For we are what he has made us. What he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works. A God who continues to send snakes to bite his people created us in God's image and said we were good. Yet we've got snakes nipping at us and biting at us still. Let me go into our gospel reading. Like I said, John 3:16, you all have seen it And usually it just says God, or John 3:16, because it's held up at the football games. It's on bumper stickers. It's at every Christian protest of anything that's out there. There it is. And so if for those of us who are already in the faith, and we see John 3:16, we know, okay? Even if we don't have it memorized, we know that that's the scripture from John's gospel, right? And so some of us may go look it up because we weren't born in a tradition that made us memorize a whole bunch of things. But we can still, you know, we connect to it. We know that it's gospel. But for those that do know it, connect to it immediately. They know what it is. It's there. It's kind of like the one name artists, right? You know, depending on what generation, you got your Charos and your Shares and your Ushers and all these musicians, right, that are out there in the world. You can connect to them if you know them. You can almost even hear their music when you see their name or hear their name. That's kind of like for those who see John 3:16, if they know it. It's a part of who they are. But here it is, a scripture that is used, I guess, as an evangelism tool. I don't quite understand that either. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. If I don't know what John 3:16 is, and I go look it up, and I see it, first thing I see in context is there's talking about some snakes, and so then I have to go and I have to look up the snakes. And what I see at the snakes is that the God kept sending snakes. And maybe my journey in faith ends right there. Because do I want to follow a God that keeps sending me snakes, to keep allowing me to be bitten? I don't know. But let's say that I do and I keep going and I do enter into that John 3:16 verse. If I don't already believe, then in that moment I'm condemned. I'm not saved. I will perish. Not the best evangelism tool. I just don't see it. I think that, you know, for God so loved the world that God created us in God's image and loves us. For God so loved the world, he allowed us to enter into a covenant that we keep breaking and he keeps renewing. Why? Because God loves us. And we stay in this relationship because that's what it is. Over and over again. I almost think for God so loved the world, not John 3:16, it's John 17 through 21. Because it's those verses that I can only connect with, and maybe Nicodemus could have connected with it too, because this whole scripture is set right into the conversation where Nicodemus sneaks in the dark to talk to Jesus, and Jesus confuses him about being reborn again, and then moves right into these snakes. And Nicodemus knew about the snakes, and he may have stopped listening right there. I don't know that he ever got to John 3:16. But it's that continuing peace that I think that he might have understood. In my research, all of a sudden, the word separation came out as something that word condemn could also mean. I hadn't seen that before. And when you replace that, it really put it in context for me, where it says, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. No, send into the world. Those who believe in him are not separated, but those who do not believe are separated already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. That word separated really connects with me because of the context in which John's gospel was written. At that point, it's the most persecuted Christian community, actively being persecuted. I don't even think there was probably a whole lot of evangelism going on because they were trying to hang on to what they had and their belief. And that's why I think believe is all throughout the John's gospel. And that's why it's a major theme, even at the end where it says why it was written. It was so that people would believe. They needed to hang on to that. They did not want to be separated from their community. They did not want to be separated from the loving God that they knew. When I put that in context, for me, it begins to make sense. But that believe Believe is not something that happens in your mind. I feel like it is when we see the sign that's held up. Just believe. Well, the gospel doesn't tell us what to believe. We like boundaries, folks, right? Did not give us what to believe, but what is the act of belief? It's not done in the mind, it's done with your whole self. Truly, it's like believing in your spouse who is going to get her PhD for the last 3 years. I believed in her to do that. She had a passion for it, and yes, that's going to happen. She'll walk in May, thank God, amen. But it's a belief, it's a whole core, it's not just something that's in the mind. When you believe in the whole core, you live in the light. You don't scamper around in the dark. You let that light shine not only on you, but through you. That's that grace that we respond to. That grace that has saved us from whatever that word means, being saved. It's a process of covenantal renewal in our walk from the darkness in our life into the light. And like John's community, for me, I need to be in community. It is my community that helps me through my dark moments, keeps me from being separated from that love of Christ when things get so hard that I can't see it. Maybe that is for you too. Know that Scripture is difficult and that I don't know what I'm talking about today because it still hasn't come to full circle, but I think that's okay because it's a journey. It's not a one-time event. Amen.